This is CliffCentral.com.
Adrian Groenewald here, and with me, Alison Yandu, and we invite you, if you ever want to be part of our live SME audience, which means you sit here from 1 to 2 at least, you listen to the business skills conversation, and then you ask your questions. But first, you pitch your business for 30 seconds, and maybe we'll have one or two doing that today. So that's what you can do. Just email kevin@leadershipplatform.com. That'll help you book your seat for our SME or our business masterclass. All right, with us in the studio, Selebogo Molefe. You've been here at Central before, I think, but not on our show. Owner or founder of Life's Good, but spelt G-U-D, Life's Good, and the Hookup Dinner, which is really about connecting small businesses, not only in South Africa, but broader than maybe across the continent. Selebogo, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you in the studio. This is now where we talk real deal. These are the guys trying to do it, mm-hmm. trying to live what we preach in the first half hour, dealing with cash and dealing mm-hmm. with cash flow management and dealing with running a small business. How did your life as an entrepreneur start, Selebogo?
Well, I started off in the informal sector. I used to work as a hairstylist, and then I moved into the construction industry, and I was a foreman there.
And then from hairstylist? To construction industry. How on earth did that happen? I mean, that's like
I was looking for a job.
So the hairstylist didn't go so well? Or you didn't enjoy it? Or?
No, I did enjoy it. I think at the time when I wanted to open my own business in that space, the time wasn't right. And therefore, I just had to find another job. And my uncle hired me in the construction business. And that's how I landed up there. And it was fun. I learned quite a bit. And then I had a short stint in corporate, about 5 years, where I enjoyed facilities management. And then it was about the same time when I decided to go into the eventing business and as well as the manufacturing business, which is what has brought me here now.
So kind of the Hookup Dinner is the event side. It's about events and connecting people.
Yeah.
And the manufacturing business, tell us about that one.
We make bean bags.
Bean bags.
Yeah, those comfortable, soft things that people sit on.
Oh, yeah. That you often sell on the side of the road.
Yeah, but we don't sell them on the side of the road. We sell to resellers and as well as export them into neighboring countries, and we're hoping to crack the Europe code pretty soon.
Is it successful? I mean, is that a popular thing? I often look at them and think, I'm not so sure. You see, when you're my age, you need help to get up. You know, you can't just...
Yeah, well, when you're young, though, Adrian, you know, moving up from the Eastern Cape or Western Cape to Joburg, you know, a beanbag is very handy. I remember when I first moved up to Joburg.
Yeah.
My flat, the first thing I had was a beanbag.
It serves as everything.
So.
It's your comfortable couch. It's your... Okay.
Now, there's two segments.
It's quick and easy.
Yeah. Okay, well, tell us two segments.
There's the side of the road type of market where people are just looking for one or two beanbags. And then there's the side where you rent them out. A whole lot of massive events use beanbags across the country, as well as sporting events. Yeah, and then there's also corporates that within their corporate spaces they're looking for loungy spaces,
comfortable.
So think of Google and that whole field.
Rooms.
It's picking up in South Africa quite a bit. We're servicing that space. And we're trying to go for the higher LSM because that's kind of where the real opportunity is. And
do you have a higher LSM type bean bag of leather, and then you have the cheaper? What are the ranges?
We actually use fabrics, canvas. We design them. So you'll find African prints. You'll find all sorts of prints on them. High quality fabrics. And those go for around 2,000 rand and upwards. So they don't come cheap.
Is it a competitive game, the bean bag?
I've enjoyed it. I mean, I've been in it since 2004. And we make around 10,000 units a year.
But you're not the founder of the beanbag.
No.
I mean, that's something that existed.
Oh no, it's been
and it's competitive.
Forever. It is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a small industry, but if you focus on it, that there's great returns. I mean, our rentals business, we have close to about 5,000 beanbags, and we rent those out on a monthly basis. That there's demand out there. There's clients that are constantly doing events, small scale events as well as larger ones.
Why? Is it easy to transport? Easy to deliver? Easy to just plonk down and say, that's it, we've got seating for events?
I think one of the things that I really enjoy about beanbags is the fact that we get to convince the market of an alternative. I mean, competing with chairs, a chair to hire, for instance, is about 4 to 8 rand, mm-hmm. and to rent our beanbags is about 70 rands and upwards. So they don't come cheap either. But when you start seeing customers saying they want to rent beanbags instead of the chairs that other people are offering, you know that you're onto something.
Okay.
$70 a beanbag. That's good margins there.
It's fun.
Yeah. I think if I could maybe come in there, I think having been in the hospitality industry as well for a couple of years, yeah. I think a lot of organizations and event management, they're kind of wanting to go with a kind of relaxed atmosphere. And I think that's exactly what the beanbag does. Mm. I think of many a corporate kind of year-end function,
yeah.
you're wanting this kind of relaxed atmosphere,
yeah.
As opposed to the very formal, prim and proper. And organizations are wanting individuals to kind of let their hair down a little bit, so I definitely buy into it.
They're a social product, and that's what attracted me to them, because naturally I'm a connector. I'm somebody that loves bringing people together for a common purpose, and that's why the beanbags as well as the hookup dinner kind of are aligned.
They complement
each other very well.
We'll find out now how many beanbags are at your hookup dinners. We've got people joining us on Periscope Live, so thank you for joining us. Any questions for our special guest? Selebogo, he's an entrepreneur. He's got, on the one hand, he's got a manufacturing business, and on the other hand, a sort of a networking business called Hookup Dinner. And we're broadcasting here from South Africa, if you're asking. So that's the only manufacturing you're doing in your manufacturing business?
Yeah, we used to do ottomans and all sorts of other things, and then we just scaled down and focused on one thing that we really do best.
Okay, now why did you start the Hookup Dinner?
It was really simple. I was in a lonely space. Cash flow wasn't going so well.
Okay.
And clients had dried up, and just found that when I met with other entrepreneurs, we're talking about the same things. And it just so happened that the idea came at the right time, because when I called up other friends and entrepreneurs and said, let's hook up on the first Friday of the month, which was back in 2012, I didn't have to struggle. I didn't market it. Just people told friends, and people showed up. We sat around the table. We had dinner. We took off our masks, and we just became ourselves. And it was a productive Friday evening.
Let's hook up. That you started.
Yeah.
So let's hook up. You know, and let's just get together and network. Yeah. And what has it evolved into? I mean, that was just the initial founding moments.
Yeah.
What do you have now?
Now we're sitting on about 89,000 entrepreneurs. We're in about 6 countries. We've in the SADC region, it's quite exciting what we've been able to tap into. And East Africa, we've got a nice presence in Kenya. We've dabbled into Tanzania as well as Rwanda, but we haven't had great success there. But we're still going back out there. But one of the advices that we've received is that focus on the SADC market, consolidate it, and kind of find your offering and your value proposition within the space. And the growth stage that we're going through right now, I mean, in South Africa, we're offering services to companies like Standard Bank as well as SAB Kickstart. We give them a pipeline of refined entrepreneurs that have pitched on our platform, that have gone through some development interventions, and that are potentially going to jump into their supply chain.
Oh, wow. So it's not just they took up together an event once a month. It's evolved into something totally different.
Yeah, I mean, we've just launched an academy now that's called Thud Academy. And that's
Thud meaning the hook up dinner. Yeah.
Yeah. So the acronyms now are the main business, purely because it's not about dinner anymore. It's really about development of entrepreneurs and developing a pipeline of entrepreneurs that can be fed into various programs and supply chain opportunities out there.
So in the daytime, you build and manufacture beanbags, and in the evening, you do the hookup dinner.
That's it. I mean, we've had to split our time, and we've had a team growing on the daily, and now we're trying to stabilize. I mean, it is pretty crazy out there for us.
Mm. Okay. So, gentlemen, any questions, feel free to jump in. Has the beanbag business been boosted by Thud?
Of course. I mean, that's the first thing I sell when I get into any platform, including corporates. So corporates want to hear more about us because we talk about entrepreneurs. And then when they start getting interested about what do you really do? And like, no, we've got a manufacturing business. And then that's how we open doors and we're able to supply our products into some of those companies.
You say, imagine 1 million African startups connected, engaging, and contributing to each other's success across Africa.
Mm.
Tell me about that. That's quite a vision. And how far are you with that?
Well, 89,000 right now. I really got excited when I did a trip to Zimbabwe, where we've been supplying bean bags to that market, but getting the product into that country has been such a mission.
Mm.
And for us, the obsession really here is trading across borders and making it easy for a small guy to be able to meet up with a guy in Zimbabwe, in Harare, and get their products onto the market without having to deal with too much regulation and all sorts of things. And because we get volunteers all over the continent that say they want to start the hookup dinner in their local countries, we just think, look, if there's a chapter in a particular country where we have a presence, why not be use that as a channel to get our products out there, as well as open up trade opportunities for each other, just as a family, as entrepreneurs, as people that don't have much resources, but through collaboration we can do so much together. And that's kind of how the voice is coming out with what we're really doing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you have a picture of the beanbag here? The product?
Not on this phone.
No, not with you. Okay.
Yeah, I'll Alice, share it.
Interesting. I mean, so you have a guy with a manufacturing business, manufacturing bean bags. You start the hookup dinner,
and you sit on the bean bag,
and you see it.
Yeah, you use the bean bag.
Sit on the bean bag.
Right. Am I right?
Yep. Okay.
Is that what happens? So if I go to one of your hookup dinner networking events,
there's no lazy boy for you.
There's no lazy boy. I sit on a. You have to pull me up, you know. Okay.
That's awesome. Look, I think Lebo just has to be congratulated here, because you know, I think he's delved right into what, you know, is the future, and the future is collaboration.
Mm.
You know, especially on the SME space, you know, it's very important to leverage, you know, connections across the spectrum. The question I have is, so if one wanted to start a hookup dinner in Morocco, for example, what is involved?
You'll have heard of movements like Startup Grind, for instance. That's a global movement that supports tech entrepreneurs. So we've looked at best practices around the world as to what happens, and we've tried to model our offering around those. It's a community. So we make sure that we give you the tools to be able to start a chapter with having all the resources, the branding.
Do you need capital to do that?
You don't really need capital. We try and have low barriers to entry, but it's more about the quality of the people that you attract. So the type of person that will take on to the hookup dinner, they must be an entrepreneur. They must be enterprising in their approach.
Sure.
And they must understand the ecosystem of entrepreneurship, as well as how to deal with startups. Mm. Because it really is about the conversation. And then beyond the conversation, then opportunities start taking place. We start opening up the other facets, introducing you to some of our corporate partners that potentially are in your country so that you can get sponsorship opportunities.
Okay. So people come to the dinner and they get to pitch their businesses?
Yep, that's correct. It's an elevator pitching platform. You pitch for about 3 minutes. The audience gives you feedback. So it's not really a Dragon's Den session where your investors are grilling you. It's more about you building confidence skills, communication skills, and the like. It just so happens that we invite a lot of buyers, a lot of procurement guys, and some of them see somebody they like, and they're like, hey, we would like to engage that person a bit more.
Okay, sure. Yeah. So what sort of conversations have happened between you and, say, the Department for Small Business Development?
In fact, we had the Minister of Small Business come and speak. It was last year, August, if I'm not mistaken. And she was about sharing the opportunities and the work that they've been doing so far. And we invited her to the platform as a way to engage entrepreneurs firsthand. And through the use of technology, we've live streamed that event where all the different chapters had access to one speaker, which was the minister here in Joburg. Mm-hmm. And they could ask questions back and forth using Google Hangouts.
Okay.
So we try and leverage off technology as much as possible to create access.
Sure.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Okay, wonderful. Now, we have an SME in the audience that's going to come around and ask a question, but first pitch her business. We actually bring her into the studio so that we can also capture it on Periscope. Any comments there for our expert? Have you learned anything about cash management? I mean, we've got the expert here beyond just cash management.
Ricardo,
you do more than just cash management. Any comments?
Well, I'll be honest, I'm a salesman. I'm not the strongest when it comes to cash management.
Yeah.
So I've got a business partner who's that's his strength, but it is my responsibility as well to ensure that I understand how the financials work and what's going on. And we have a weekly feedback session where we sit down and we look at our financials and look at as to whether we actually have money in the bank or not. And we make sure that we don't overspend on things and money that we don't have.
I think where you started your conversation was kind of had the beanbag business and then needed to expand because of cash and so forth.
Yeah.
So I think it's exactly the place where entrepreneurs find themselves, that they do have a business. It's not necessarily generating the cash, and so you do look at other opportunities. I just wanted to touch on one thing that you mentioned as well about kind of getting into the other markets, and overseas market, and I think sometimes we're quick to complain and say, oh, you know, the rand is plummeting. That's fantastic for manufacturers. I mean, our Finance Minister Praveen Gordhan spoke at this year's budget speech about South Africa having a drive to try and let's use things that are at our disadvantage per se. They actually create opportunities for certain sectors. So let's leverage off that. So I think it's a fantastic opportunity for yourself and others in that space.
Okay, Lucas, David, others joining us via Periscope. We've got an SME in the studio. She's going to position her business, pitch it for 30 seconds, and then engage the panel if she's got any questions. Go for it.
Thank you. My name is Mary Bogwa. Ms. Easy House of Santon, BNB. It's one of the SMEs that have a partnership with the Sogosan in terms of empowering us as women. I started the BNB from my own house. I live there. And I kind of welcome everybody, businesses from all over. We have a website, and we are also have booking sites that people can book through, and then we have everybody from all over the world coming. We are near the Santon Convention Center, walking distance. We are also partnering with the TAC-TAC, who also do transport around us there.
Okay.
This helps us to support the people coming to the hospitals in Santon, coming for businesses in Santon, and we happy to welcome everybody, and the tourists also stop over when they go to Krugersdorp and everywhere else. Yeah.
Now, if anyone listening overseas right now on Periscope wants to come to your B&B when they come to South Africa, where do they get hold of you?
They would from the our booking site. We have our website, www.missisihousebnb.com, and we are also with the Safari now. We are also with the booking.com. It's a site, it's an international site with TripAdvisor.
Okay.
And they're able to get us through there.
All right, do you have a question for the panel? It was a very technical conversation, important one, the first half hour about cash management, liquidity, and all that stuff. And you have your own problems, I'm sure, running your little business. Do you have a question for our experts, our panel, or the panel can engage you?
Well, it's Mr. Ricardo.
Ricardo, yeah, ask him.
When we have our monies there and they come in, like you're saying, and we put that money in the systems, like when somebody comes in and swipes a card and that money goes into the bank, takes a few days to get that money going, then what usually happens is there we have the money tied in, like you're saying. When I go to withdraw that money, there's charges from the bank. The card is charging. Yeah. And at the end of it, when I look through, it's not lost, but I've paid so much money on the support of this payment rather than even the business. And I keep wondering how we can do this so that we are not we get some kind of saving in these transactions.
There is, sadly, I mean, there are banking fees related to the commissions in terms of the credit card facilities. And I think entrepreneurs and small businesses, they sometimes fail to recognize those costs as operational costs. And so you make a sale, you think you've got $100, but at the end of the day, if you've needed to kind of give away 5% as a commission or so, you no longer have that 100, and you're sitting down with the 95. So it is a challenge. I'm not quite sure if I have an exact answer for you in terms of how can we kind of kind of spin that around. As mentioned, in terms of holding physical cash, that in itself brings challenges. I think it's being aware of what are your costs associated to your business. How do I best utilize those? The example that Richard kind of used, I'm drawing money literally just to go and pay. You're kind of paying almost like there's kind of a double cost. The only ones that are smiling are the bankers, sure, who have kind of gained on the ATM transaction, and will bank from the merchant when that person physically banks the cash. So it is a difficult one.
Some comments there. Thank you for pitching your business and joining us today in the studio. Okay.
Yeah, but I've got a comment for Mary.
Okay, go for it.
Centin, it's a globally worldwide known sort of square mile. Mm-hmm. Richest square mile in Africa.
So
in your pitch, I really would have liked to have heard you, you know, speak in those terms, you know, to say, you know, you want to experience Africa, the richer side of Africa. We're there for you to give you the experience you've never imagined.
If you're coming to Sandton, that square mile thing, you've got to mention
and,
that.
And because we're not charging so much, but mm-hmm. we are giving the first class, we say we give the five-star mm-hmm. experience for a three-star kind of payment. So we should be full and we should be making a lot of money. So we really need the people to come in and really get that experience.
So I'll just say this, you know, we've had other BNB supported by Tokusan come through here. So I think what we've highlighted for them is that it's very important to sell the experience than to sell the BNB concept, because there's so many BNBs out there.
We say it's a home from home. It's a home away from home, because people get to experience that feel, light in the middle of Sandton.
Okay. But very good input there, Alice. I mean, being in Sandton, that square mile concept, you come to South Africa, you want to experience the wealthiest, what do you call it,
square mile in Africa,
Sandton, at a much less cost. You really can come with a brilliant pitch.
If I can just add in there, I think we need to move away from commoditizing our business as such, and look at the experience that we create. We kind of look at the Starbucks model. We don't sell coffee, we sell an experience. That's and I think that quite right. I think that's brilliant. What we should look at, mm-hmm. and selling that experience as opposed to the bed as such.
Selebogo, this is what businesses do when they come to the hookup dinner, to your networking events, and they sit on those beanbags. They pitch their businesses. Do you find in general how well do SMEs pitch their businesses? We find as they do it here live on the show that they struggle with that. That they've never really been coached on how to effectively pitch their business.
It's one of the biggest challenges. I mean, because it's directly linked to sales. In how you position your statement, it's about convincing me to take action against it. And most of the time, we haven't had training in that. In fact, most of the time, we focus on the technical aspects of what we do. So it is something that we all need to focus, put a bit more focus on, getting in communicators that can assist entrepreneurs with positioning their value proposition correctly.
Okay. Some lessons you've learned over the years running your own business, and then obviously through this hookup dinner networking system that you created, you've engaged and connected with and listened to more SMEs than most of us. It's an interesting angle. You're tasting it every day, and then you hear it through the eyes and the glasses of many others. What lessons have you learned when it comes to running your SME successfully?
I think the most important part for me personally, it's relationships. So people think when I meet you, Adrian, it's about me selling something to you. But if I haven't built a relationship with you, it becomes hard to convince you of anything, because business is built at the speed of trust. And if we understand that, it's even in how you create your pitch and how you communicate to the next person, it's about the experience. So what's your big why are you doing this, and why should I buy into your vision?
And what have you learned? In fact, I want to ask you, what do you wish you knew in the beginning, what you know now? So if you look back at the younger,
before the construction, before the bin bags,
the younger Selebogo, before you came out as an entrepreneur, what do you tell him?
I genuinely wish I had focused more on maths and accounting. I dropped it in standard 7, accounting. I used to go to JP High School for boys, and I didn't do so badly in maths, but had I given it a bit more focus, it would have solved half of my problems. I wouldn't have gone through the half of the problems that I had to go through. But it's the learnings that come with being in business, I guess.
So a very technical element there that you learned the hard way. Did you learn it the hard way?
I did. I learned it a very hard way. I mean, I've been in business since 2004. I've burnt cash. like terribly, and after having made sales, not seen returns at the end of the month, and not seen what we've done with the money because I've spent it in the business, and separating a personal account from a business account, all of those things are lessons that I've had to learn the hard way. And I've come out better now, but I mean, those can be avoided. We don't have to all go through that.
Would you ever take a corporate job again?
I can't. I was offered a job last year, a nice project, and I can't. I can't. I really enjoy what I do.
You enjoy the sleepless nights and the long hours.
Yeah, it's
talks on radio shows.
In fact, it's not romantic at all. That's the funny thing. But yes. The satisfaction that I get from it, I don't think I would be able to fit into a structure way. Yeah.
Yeah, you probably didn't think that when you're in matric.
Nope.
Hence my question to you, Lebo. In your view now, knowing what you know, what do you think is the best way for our country to inculcate the culture of entrepreneurship at a much, much earlier age?
There's something that I learned when I was invited to the UK in Hull City. They start at the age of 5. So it really is about the culture from a very early stage. They do simple things like, if you're interested in photography, how can you be enterprising about that? And then they will teach you the enterprising skills. And then when you're ready, they will invest like £10 or £100 for you to be able to buy that camera that you need. But the important thing is for you to bring returns. And it's not necessarily that you must be an entrepreneur, but when you finish school, you have options. And your way of thinking, your attitude, and how you adopt certain life things just becomes totally different. And I think it's important for us to start them very young and to have mentors along the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, quickly, sell the hookup dinner. Sell it to the people out there. Pitch it. Why should people join it? And what will they experience when they arrive at one of your networking event and events? And now we know it's more than just a let's hook up principle. But sell the hookup dinner. SMEs, why
join? Can I also just add a writer question there?
Sure.
Is there also a matchmaking kind of element to the hookup dinner?
As in business matchmaking.
As in the other.
Just make sure, yeah.
I think what the platform has been able to accomplish, it's finding entrepreneurs with great ideas and turning them into rock stars. I mean, there's entrepreneurs like the Lazy Makoti. If you look them up online, she's got her own TV show today. She came with an idea at the hookup dinner, and look at her now. If you think of a young entrepreneur called Skinny Spoo Socks, he makes happy socks. He came on the hookup dinner platform, and today he's a rock star. Every celebrity wears his socks. So the platform kind of gives that opportunity. And as a by the way, it just so happens that corporates come onto the platform looking for entrepreneurs to feed into their programs. So that becomes a byproduct of what we do, but it's not our main focus.
They're enterprise development programs.
Yeah.
Correct. Very, 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 very clever. Yeah. All right. I think he sold it. He's a real salesman marketer. He's got his own recorder here in the studio recording this conversation. And no doubt that'll go onto their social media platforms. It's really great to meet you. And we want to partner somehow. You know, bring your SMEs into the studio. We've already engaged you there.
In fact, the two that he's mentioned, the Lazy Makoti, she should come through here, and Swoo should come through here.
No, I'll definitely pass on. I'll introduce.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So that is our very special guest, Selebogo Molefe, from Life's Good. That's G-U-D, by the way. And then the Hookup Dinner, Thud, T-H-U-D. You'll see them on Twitter. He's quite active on Twitter. And it's great to have you in the studio, Alice Nyandu. Thank you. We're going to continue our conversation now with Alice on how the media industry is transforming. He's in the spotlight, but he's seeing life very differently these days. And then, of course, we've got Ricardo Carvalho, who joined us from USB Ed. Thank you so much. It's been great having your expertise in here. We really appreciate
it. My pleasure.
And it was great having an SME pitch too. So stay with us. Our transformation platform up next. And by the way, if you ever want to join our live SME audience, then simply email Kevin at leadershipplatform.com. That's two P's in the middle, one word. You can join our live audience, can pitch your business, and engage the panel. Stay with us.
This is CliffCentral.com.